n'okubira ddala mu bantu mu bubaka Trinidad.
We have a little island here. But a lot of believers have like precious feet. But Abraham saw that bride marching in the vision. She was coming from all nations. A glorious church without spot and without wrinkle. She was made ready by this message. Amen. And especially to all the visiting ministers. I don't know if I was able to meet everyone. But God richly bless you. My only desire is to put you in remembrance of what was spoken by the prophet, that your hearts and minds could be stirred up. That if there is one that is weak and falling back, could be restored with the true strength that it need to have in this hour. If there is one who don't know the Lord Jesus and have this glorious hope that we have, might be able by the grace of God to share in that today. And to them who are walking in the light, in the rhythm of the word, that the word can give us a new charge of faith, to keep us faithful, to keep us true to this message. Amen. I'd like to invite your attention to the book of Jeremiah, chapter 32. Seeing that we are going to have two services, I would like to maybe just deal with one subject and just take it in two parts. Jeremiah chapter 32, we're going to begin reading from verse 6. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it.
Awo Yeremiya nayogera nti ekigambo kya Mukama kyajja gye ndi nga kyogera nti, laba, Kanameri mutabani wa Salumu kojjawo alijja gy'oli ng'ayogera nti, weegulire ennimiro yange erimu Anasosi kubanga okuginunula kukwo.
So Hanamel, mine uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and said unto me, buy my field, I pray thee, that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is thine, and the redemption is thine. Buy it for thyself. Then I knew that this was the word of the Lord.
Amen. Nkwegayiridde, gula ennimiro yange erimu Anasosi ekiri mu nsi ya Benyamini kubanga obusika bubwo n'okuginunula kukwo, weegulire wekka, kale ne ndyoka ntegeera ng'ekyo kye kigambo kya Mukama.
You see, he had received a vision. And the vision, the word of the Lord was revealing to him. His uncle's son was going to come to him and tell him to buy this field. He was in the prison. But God was giving him a vision in the prison. And lo and behold, he saw the boy coming, saying exactly what was revealed to him in the vision. So here was the vision being fulfilled. Here was the prophet under expectation for the fulfillment of the vision. And then here was the prophet recognizing the vision coming to pass. So verse 9, and I bought the field of Hanamel, mine uncle's son, that was in Anathoth, and weighed him the money, even 17 shekels of silver. And I signed the deed and sealed it, and took witnesses, and weighed him the money in the balances. So I took the deed of the purchase, both that which was sealed according to the law and custom, and that which was open. And I gave the deed of the purchase unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, the son of Maaseiah, in the sight of Hanamel, mine uncle's son, and in the presence of the witnesses that signed the deed of the purchase before all the Jews that sat in the court of the prison. And I charged Baruch before them, saying, thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, take these deeds, this deed of the purchase which is sealed, and this deed of the purchase which is open, and put them in an earthen vessel, that they may continue many days.
Let us
bow our heads to pray. Our gracious God, knowing that these things can be very deep, but your people are a simple people, Lord. Take this and make it so simple. Lord, that even the most illiterate of us could catch it by divine revelation of the Holy Spirit. We believe that this has a direct relevance to the message of the hour. And that understanding it will help us to see our position in this day, Lord. And we pray that you would make it real to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. May I have a seat. Do we have any businessmen here or people that do business? Amen. We have a couple of them. Few of them here. Well, all the rest of us do business also. We might not be business people by profession, but we all have to go and buy something at some time. And this scene that we have focused our attention upon is actually a business transaction taking place. One man was selling a portion of property to another man. It was a business transaction. And at the end of the transaction, the man who paid the price for the property became the new owner. He became the legal owner. And he even had the evidence that he had made a purchase. And the evidence even carried the signature of the witnesses. And it was done in the sight of many people. In the presence of many people. So it could not be denied. It took place publicly. But these men who were doing this business transaction, they were relatives. Amen. Because Jeremiah was buying his uncle's property. It was a strange place to do a business transaction. Because he was in prison. And the people came in the court of the prison to make this business transaction. And he wasn't looking to buy property. But his cousin came to him and said, buy this property. You see, Jeremiah was a prophet. He was a vindicated prophet. One time his prophecy was even challenged by another prophet. Jeremiah had a very powerful ministry in Israel. And he had to rebuke the religious systems very hard. Of course, it made him unpopular. They hated him. They persecuted him. He was called the weeping prophet of the Bible. You just have to read the book of Lamentations and you see the type of suffering that he suffered. But here he was in prison again for his message. But before they threw him in prison, he had blasted forth a prophecy that shook up that nation. He had seen how they would not give heed to the word of God. They wouldn't respond to the cry of the Holy Spirit. He stood in the gate of the people and gave them signs as God would instruct him. He himself was a sign. He was a true sign overlooked. Because a prophet is always a sign. And he was a sign of coming judgment. And as he blasted that message, the religious systems didn't like that one man message. They didn't like that kind of preaching. Because he was always speaking about judgment. He seemed to be so corrective. But he was only trying to get them to do the ABCs. So they could learn some algebra afterwards. Amen. But he just couldn't even seem to get them to know the ABCs. I trust that we have obeyed our ABCs. So we can learn some algebra. They all for us to rise a little higher. Amen. So he had prophesied that Nebuchadnezzar was going to come. He had prophesied that the king of Babylon was going to come. Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold in that day. Because it was revealed to Daniel later on. He was a superpower in the earth. He had the most powerful armies. Latest invention of weapons. They had a great evil city. It was built on the Euphrates River. Babylon. The place where satanic religion had origin. It was started by a man named Cush in the Bible. Developed by another of his son called Nimrod. The mighty hunter. He hunted the souls of people. He was forcing every nation to come and bow down to Babylon. He was making a global state. He wanted to control the whole world. Because the most fertile place in the world was the Euphrates River. It was the cradle of civilization. He was building a tower to link heaven and earth. He had a great space program. He was trying to get people into heaven outside of the blood. Trying to get them into heaven by science and technology. But not according to the ordained plan. That Euphrates River was just a perversion of the New Jerusalem. Satan always likes to pervert. Because out of the New Jerusalem came a river flowing out of the throne. But Babylon was built on the Euphrates River. Amen. It was an evil place. It's mentioned in the beginning of the Bible, in the middle of the Bible, and the end of the Bible. And the Euphrates River is mentioned in the beginning of the Bible, the middle of the Bible, and the end of the Bible. And in the last days, when we come to the book of Revelation, it's a mystery Babylon. And it's a mystery river Euphrates. Where 200 million demon spirits came out of. That is taking over the whole earth today. So if we can understand what was happening in the Old Testament, in natural Babylon, and natural Israel, it would give us a clear picture of the New Testament, where it is in its spiritual form. Because the things in the Old Testament is a type of the things in the New Testament. And anything that is being taught in the New Testament has its representation in the Old Testament. And the things in the New Testament cannot be correctly and clearly understood If we don't find its counterpart in the Old Testament and compare the two together and make sure it is correctly lined up. That's why we have all these strange ideas today. Because people are failing to search these things from Genesis to Revelation. But any revelation any man claims must start in Genesis and unfold all the way to Revelation. Then we know we have the correct revelation. Amen. So here was Jeremiah. He had seen that Rome, that Babylonian power rising. And they were swallowing up the whole earth. And Israel was under the leadership of God. And God had sent his prophets to keep them under the influence of his word. Now, the same way God deals with Israel on a national level, he deals with us on an individual level. We see the Babylonian power swallowing up the world today. God has sent a prophet with the word to keep us under the influence of the word. But we can disobey that word, and Babylon will take us into captivity. The spirits and the evil powers of the world could separate us from our God-given place in the economy of God. And take us into captivity. When the king of Babylon came, Jeremiah had already prophesied it. And he said, 70 years shall the people go into captivity. Well, there was another popular prophet by the name of Hananiah. He didn't like that prophecy too much. He felt that should be revealed to him if it's of God. He didn't realize that revelation is sovereign. And God is no respecter of persons. Jesus lifted his hand and thanked God. Jesus lifted his hand and thanked God. He said, Father, I thank you. You reveal it to whomsoever you will. Amen. So when Jeremiah blasted forth that message to be popular with the people, Hananiah rose up and said, you will not go 70 years, you'll only go 2 years. Amen. And he says, thus said the Lord. Amen. And then we find out God came to Jeremiah. He said, you go and tell him, because Hananiah had broken the yoke which God had given Jeremiah, that as a symbol of the bondage the people was going to go into. And to make a show and appear to be something before the people, Hananiah broke that yoke. And God told Jeremiah, he says, you go and tell him I'll make one an iron next time. And also tell him that he will die this year. And for impersonation of that vindicated prophet, with that vindicated message, in the hour when the Babylonian power was coming to take over the world, Hananiah tried to impersonate. He tried to contradict the original word given by the prophet. He didn't know how necessary it was to say only what the prophet said. And when he began to inject his own ideas into what the prophet said, he died. You see churches dying. You see ministers dying. You see free thinkers dying. For injecting their ideas and impersonating. Amen. And here was Jeremiah. He was shut up in prison. The king of Babylon was moving in swiftly. The nation was under political tensions. The caravans had already been cut off. The caravans. All the trade routes. No food could come into the nation. The Babylonian power was breaking that system. Brought a lot of recession in the country. Brought inflation. Brought an economic chaos. Poverty and hardship. Amen. And then when all that began to swiftly take over the nation, tensions begin to rise among the people. Anybody who had a little influence, they're trying to shut up them voices. So the prophet Jeremiah was thrown into prison. He couldn't give comfort to the people who needed the word. Sometimes we never know when that is going to take place. That's why we must mix the word with faith when we hear it. That it might profit us. The Bible said the people who heard Moses didn't mix the word with faith when they heard it. So it didn't profit them. Amen. And so we see that while Jeremiah's family understood that he was a vindicated prophet, before he was even formed in his mother's womb, God said, Jeremiah, I foreordained thee to be a prophet. He was called from a young man. And he went out to that ministry among the people, seeing those visions, hearing that voice, bringing forth those revelations. And every time they would come to pass just exactly. Sometimes you'd be afraid to say it. In the face of those learned, great, respected men, who is national leaders, great men in powerful positions, that one time he felt intimidated. And God, knowing how necessary it is, and the great responsibility that went with such a ministry for one who is standing between the living and the dead, God told him, Jeremiah, he said, you don't fear them? I will make them wood and I'll make your words fire. God had to encourage him to rise up and be faithful to proclaim what God revealed to him. God had to make him a prisoner to the word. And we find that Jeremiah went on with his ministry. He never fully understood clearly all at one time. But as God continued to deal with him to perfect his faith and to make him a true reflection of the God who sent him, that he can truly stand in God's stead. And when he speaks as the mouthpiece of God. So here he was. One day, God said, go down to the potter's shop, Jeremiah. I'll reveal myself to you. He went down to the potter's shop. But God has a strange way, doesn't he? How he deals with us. We must be in certain places to understand certain things. And many times he reveals himself to us through natural things. Amen. So here was Jeremiah. He went down by the potter's shop. He went down by the potter's shop. And the potter had the clay in his hand, and he had a great wheel where he'll form them vessels out of the clay. He was making vessels to hold water. Vessels to cook food. All different kind of vessels. Vessels of honor and vessels of dishonor. Oh, it struck the prophet. Because he began to see the God who took man out of the dust of the earth and began to form him. Amen. Hallelujah. He saw the hand of the potter forming a vessel. And when when it's marred, he breaks it. He don't feel defeated. He don't think his plan has gone wrong. He has a permissive will. And he can work it right out and bring it back into his perfect will. And sometimes he has to break a vessel. He breaks families sometimes. He breaks churches sometimes. He breaks the tie of your joint sometimes. Like he did with Jacob. Amen. He could break things and mend it again. But when we come back out, we come back out in the shape and the form that he wanted us. That very potter today could take your life that might be in confusion. Amen. And make something beautiful. Hallelujah. There's a song that says, something beautiful, something beautiful. All of my confusion, he understood. All I had to offer him was a broken life filled with strife. But he made something beautiful out of my life. Amen. He can do the same for us today. So Jeremiah had a strange way that God trained him and molded him for his ministry. that where he could reflect God's light. Where he could speak as the mouthpiece of God. And that was one of his great prophecies. The disobedient people to be taken into captivity. But he promised them, after 70 years, God is going to bring them back in that land again. That when they seek me with all their heart, I will be fond of them. It was a message of redemption and judgment. Amen. So though the people was going into captivity, yet they know that the time is going to come. They're going to come back in the homeland. Even though some of them who has been taken to captivity may not live out the 70 years because those are already old. But their young children will come back. And when they come back, they'll want a home. They'll want the inheritance. They'll want a place to belong to. And since Joshua had given them that land under divine commission from Almighty God, he had taken the people that Moses had called out in the Exodus, and he placed them positionally in the inheritance. And he divided up the land for the tribes. Judah got the portion. Ephraim got the portion. Manasseh got the portion. Zebulun had the portion. Naphtali had the portion. Amen. And when the land was divided up, say for instance, he said, Ibale, this is your portion. From this tree to that rock to that river to this other tree, this is your inheritance. This is your boundaries. And the people would have a landmark to mark the boundaries of their inheritance. And it was death to move a man landmark. Of course, there's always greed in people. There's covetousness. So a man wants to extend his boundary. So the thief comes in the night. And he pushes the rock a little back. So he can extend his boundaries. So he can have more land. So then sometimes they would even measure out the land. If there is not a permanent landmark, to make sure that nobody is encroaching upon that property. Amen. And then they would have a deed for that property. The deed would have a description of the inheritance. So a man will know how much land he has, what is on the land that identifies the land to be his specific property. Amen. And that was to be an everlasting possession, as God told Abraham. The land could not be sold. Amen. It could not be given to anyone else. It had to stay in that tribe. It had to stay in the family it was divided up to. It would go from one generation to the next generation. And if that land was lost in some way, there was a right of redemption to the property. That is why when Hanamel came to Jeremiah, amen, he told him, buy my field, which is in Anatot, because I am of the tribe of Benjamin, and you are of the tribe of Benjamin, because your father and my father is brothers. You and me are cousins. I am your kinsman and you are my kinsman. Hallelujah! And if you could buy my property, you become the purchaser of my property. You pay the required price. And you became the legal owner. And if you are the legal owner, and you have the deed, and the deed identifies you to be the owner, and the name of the witnesses who witnessed the transaction is also on the deed, that if there's any problem, any dispute, we can call them to testify that they was there. They witnessed the thing. They could say, that is my signature. Even though they die, their children could come and say, that's my daddy's signature. That's my daddy's signature. Hallelujah! That's his mark there. Hallelujah! He was there that day. Amen. Glory. It was a wonderful thing. So they could have traced the property right back to the tribe. Amen. And then on the deed of that property, had the identification, had the description. They had one scroll sealed up and one scroll open.
Amen.
So if a man had tried to tamper with that seal, let's say a man had tried to make some forgery on the open book, on the open deed. Then when they open the other's deed, when they break that seal, those two deeds must be identically the same. So they did it in that manner, and they put these two deeds in one vessel. Amen. You know, in the beginning, when God made an earthen vessel, in Genesis 2:7, amen, in Genesis 2:7, God formed man out of the dust of the earth. Why did he make that earthen vessel? He had two deeds. He had a spirit man and a spirit woman. And he put them into that body. And Eve could not be revealed while she was in Adam. Adam was walking about the earth, but you couldn't see Eve. He himself couldn't even fellowship with Eve. Hallelujah! But then the time came when God took Eve out of Adam. And when Adam saw Eve, after she came into expression, Adam said, this bone of my bone. This flesh of my flesh. She was part of him. She was the matching piece to the masterpiece. But at the time, the two of them was in one body. When the second Adam walked the earth, he also had a bride inside of him. And she could not be revealed either. As long as she stayed inside of him. But he was revealing himself out to the world. Search the scripture. They testify who I am. A greater than Solomon is here. A greater than Jonah is here. Amen. If you don't believe me, believe the works. They testify who I am. Amen. They all saw the Son of Man being revealed. But they couldn't see the bride. They couldn't see the bride. She was still shut up inside of there. So I'm going to put a little seal right there on that for now. Because if I go there, I go way off in another message. But just to give you a little indication as to the application of what we're speaking of as pertaining to redemption. Because my title is The Sealed Deed of Purchase. Amen. Had a deed of purchase. Let me give you an illustration. Just now I was asking how much business people we had. Amen. And I says we all are business people in some way or the other. Let's say you go to the store to buy a pair of shoe or some appliance for your house or clothes for the children or something. No, you have the money in your pocket. That's the purchasing power. But you go down in Tororo and you walk in one of the stores and you see just the articles that you're looking for. Now if you take it out of the store and go to walk out with it, they could charge you for stealing. For you to become the legal owner of the property, you have to pay the purchasing price and you have to have the evidence that you made a purchase. And if that store is being properly run, they're supposed to have a little book that is the record for their sales. Amen. To show that the goods they have in the store is not stolen goods. And if they're selling it to you, in order for you not to be accused that you stole those goods, they must give you an evidence that you actually made a purchase. So what they do, they have these bill books and they have two copies. One is the original copy and one is a duplicate copy. And they put a bit of carbon between the two. Amen. So when you go and he says, I want this pair of shoes, you try it on. You like how it looks. You say, it fit me just right.
Says, how much it costs?
Man say, 5,000 shillings. You take out your 5,000 shillings and you pay him.
He makes out the bill. He puts the date, showing the day that the purchase was made. He describes the item that you bought. He even put a stamp upon it sometimes to prove it's official. He gives you one copy, and they keep the other copy in their book as a record of that sale. So what is going to happen? You put the shoes in the bag, and you're going out the store. Oh, you are happy. Amen. You're going to church Sunday morning with this new pair of shoes. Maybe brother so and sister so is going to get married. And you have just the right garment to match the shoe. But here comes the security guard. He didn't see when you buy the shoe. He didn't know the shoe changed owners. Because it was actually a business transaction that took place. Now we buy things every day. But it becomes so common to us, we may not think of it in the manner in which I'm expressing it. Because before you went into that store, that store was the owner of that article. Then when you walk into the store and you pay the price, and you receive the article, they take the money, you take the article, and they give you a receipt. Amen. Now, if when you walk into that store, that security guard put his hand on you, he said, you're under arrest for stealing. Man, you should have trembled. A lot of people are wrong, gathering around now. He said, you're going straight to jail. Amen. You all always come to the store and stealing things. And maybe he's one big bad security guard. And you begin to panic. You say, oh God, don't lock me up. Please, don't lock me up. You know, I beg your pardon. Something will be radically wrong with you. It will show that you don't understand what took place between you and the store. Now, if you know the authority that goes with that little piece of paper, it might look like it has some little funny writing on that paper. You may see a number on that paper. And because you don't have a revelation of the numerology on that paper, that was put there to take the fears and doubts out of you. That was put there to take the fears and doubts out of you. You thought it was just some paper they give people when they buy things. you didn't even care for it. Amen. But if you knew what that paper meant, From the time he rests his hand on you. And he said, you're under arrest. He said, what is the matter with you? Amen. Because you could stand on your ground. You know you have the evidence in your pocket of that purchase. You know what identifies you to be the legal owner. And you will not be intimidated by no power that want to make you have fear in what is rightfully yours. And when we read this Bible, it may have some little writing in it. Might have some numbers in it. And we may not be fully to read all them things. But when you want healing, or you want another touch from God, or you want your unsaved children saved, or some unsaved husband or unsaved wife, you don't have to stand up and be intimidated when the devil tells you you can't have that. You can point in the Calvary where the price was paid, where the Holy Ghost came back, and you can show you have the evidence that rightfully belonged to you. And you can say, get thee hence, Satan. You're not going to bluff me no more. I know that this is mine. This was paid for me. Amen. Why? Now that man say, you have some false receipt there. Maybe some false interpretation you have. Say, oh yeah, you think it's a false interpretation. You think it's a false receipt. And they want to bring you before a court of law. Amen. To try you and maybe sentence you. You could say, bring the record. Hallelujah! The store is supposed to have a record. There's a number on this receipt here. Search it all the way back. Hallelujah! And see if this piece don't dovetail with that piece. Hallelujah! And so when we see and understand what is taking place, what has been done on our behalf, we will not be bluffed out in the promises of God. Satan will not be able to move your landmark. You can say every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line. He promised me a new heart. He promised me a new spirit. He promised me a new nature. He promised me a new body. Amen. He said, these signs shall follow them that believe. He said, you will do the greater work. Amen. You stand on your God-given ground. Because you know what identifies you to be the true believer. Amen. And so it is, when that transaction was being made in that prison, Hanamel came to Jeremiah because he knew. He said, we are going to go into captivity. We may not come back, but you are our kin. You could pay the price for this. You qualify to be a redeemer. Amen. He says, you buy my field. That is an anathoth. Because the right of inheritance is thine. If somebody from another tribe, they wouldn't have that right. If somebody from another family, they wouldn't have that right. But you as a kinsman, you could purchase it. But to purchase it, it wasn't just how much you want. Here's a few shillings. I'll give you some later. It couldn't be done so. Amen. They had a specific requirement. And the requirement had to be met. So he said, we got the balances. And it was going to be 17 shekels of silver. And how many know what silver types in the Bible? Silver speaks of redemption. So that 17 shekels of silver. But a man could say, I think it looked like 18 shekels. A man lift it up like that. He said, I feel like 14 shekels. They say, no. This can't have no guessing. Get the scale. Should have took the balances. Amen. And they had to get an absolute. And they had to wait out. What about if you go in a store and you say, give me 4 yards of material. And the man does so. And then cut it. You don't want to pay for that. You say, where's the ruler? Bring out the tape. Let the tape declare it's 3 yards. Amen. Then you're satisfied. Because it meets the requirement. If it's not falling directly on the tape, he said, come on, a few inches short. It must meet the requirement. Hallelujah. So they got a scale. It had to balance out. Did you know Jesus had to be tried? Remember when God, even in the book of Daniel, he told Belshazzar, you are weighing the balances and found wanting? When they were judged to the standard of God's word, we are being weighed even now. The requirement given to us by our prophet in this age. The message of the hour. And then the believer. It must balance out. Now the Apostle Peter. In 1 Peter 1. Verse 18. He says, we are redeemed not with corruptible things like gold or silver, but we are redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb of God that had to be weighed in the word to prove it wasn't Jewish blood, to prove it wasn't Gentile blood. It must
holy blood of God. Amen. Only that blood could redeem us. Because the blood comes from the male sperm. And every man born of a woman need redemption and cannot be a true redeemer of mankind. Amen. To redeem mankind had to be a holy blood. Because the human bloodstream was polluted. That is why in the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28, he said he purchased the church with the blood of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah! That's why Jesus said, God is his Father. He never said Mary was his mother. He called her woman all the time. Amen. Because God spoke and created the blood cell and the egg in Mary's womb. Then that was broken on the cross. But he first had to meet every requirement of God to prove he's a true redeemer. To prove he have the right of redemption. That we are his inheritance. Ephesians 1 says he has an inheritance in the saints. Hallelujah! He paid a price. We belong to him now. Paul says, you are not your own. You were bought with a price. In the gospel, it said he gave his life a ransom for many. Not corruptible things like gold or silver, but holy blood. Not like the blood of Abel, but the blood that could speak better things. Hallelujah! That blood that had the Holy Ghost in it. That when that blood was shed, the Holy Spirit came back. That's why the song says he signed the deed with his atoning blood. He wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life with his blood. Hallelujah! To know that you are redeemable. He's going to claim his property one day. Amen. He's going to reveal what is his property. Then he's going to claim it. Hallelujah! That where I am, there you may be also. Glory! So here in the book of Jeremiah, we understand how when somebody was purchasing a property that was redeemable, how that person qualified to be a kinsman. My uncle's son, not my aunt's son. The bloodline. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. So he can have a claim of redemption. And Jeremiah said, he said, I charge Baruch in the presence of all the people. Put this in an earthen vessel. Something that can't rust or corrupt.
Something that can't rust or corrupt. Because the prophecies for many days. Do you see the kind of faith he had in his prophecy? He put his money where his prophecy was. Hallelujah! He signed it! He knew that was going to come back. He knew he had the word of the Lord. He knew that was going to go into captivity, but it will come back in that land one day. We was in the Garden of Eden. We were taken to captivity. But we're going to come back in the Garden of Eden one day. In the Garden of Eden, we had inheritance. In the Garden of Eden, we were in the image and likeness of God. In the Garden of Eden, we had dominion over the earth. In the Garden of Eden, Adam was an amateur God. He had, the earth was his inheritance. He was God from sea to sea and from shore to shore. But we were taken to captivity under sin. Hallelujah! We got a fallen nature. We live in bondage to the beggarly elements. Our inheritance was forfeited. Satan began to squawk upon it. Build up all these cities all around the earth. Destroy the whole earth. God said, we'll destroy them who destroy the earth. But the meek shall inherit the earth. Hallelujah! The earth will be released one of these days. Satan will be bound 1,000 years. We'll have no tempter then. We shall reign with Jesus in 1,000 years of peace. There is going to be a jubilee one day. There's going to be a time of release one day. Jeremiah says, put this deed inside his vessel. In the time of the jubilee. Hallelujah! The people are going to come back in this land. The deed will be right here. Preserved. Man who wasn't there might have tried to figure out what is written in the deed. They might see the inheritance. Say, there's a nice piece of land to farm. Look like it have no owner wrong. I think I'm going to build a house on it. I think I'm going to live here and farm this piece of land. But he don't know he's a squatter. Because in that deed, the name of the real owner is written. And the time of deliverance. Hallelujah! When Babylon is fixing to fall, the handwriting on the wall, and the handwriting being interpreted. Hallelujah! And after Babylon fell, it was time to go back to Eden. Time to go back to the inheritance. And when they get back there, they may find all kind of people claiming that land. America want to claim it. Amen. The Russians want to claim it. Hallelujah. But in this book, the seal deed of purchase, the names of the owners inside of here. In that hour, when this world is again falling apart, economically, socially, politically, religiously, this world is again falling apart. But the millennium,
is being ushered in. Hallelujah! Glory! That seven seal book is going to be opened. What was that seven seal book? What did it represent? What did it mean? In the book of Jeremiah, it tells us it was a deed of an inheritance. Our inheritance. We as the sons of God, who've been born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, chosen in Christ, before the foundation of the world. Your name is inside of here. You say, how am I going to know it? How will I see my name? The same way John saw his name. Hallelujah. One time John the Baptist was approached by a ministerial association. He said, who art thou? What sayest thou of thyself? Amen. They wanted to know who he was. Which seminary you was taught in? Which ministerial group he represents? He turned around and told them, I'm the son of Zechariah and Elizabeth. Is that what he said? No, sir. Amen. Hallelujah. He said, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. How did he know that? That was his name. Written in a mystery. And he was living out that mystery. His life was dovetailing. Dovetailing with the prophecy. To show that prophecy was being interpreted in his life. He proved to be the matching piece. Look at Mary. She went to church Sunday after Sunday. Amen. Listen to all the rabbis. But one day the angel of the Lord, an angel descended from heaven. Hallelujah. And began to speak to her. Hail Mary. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And blessed is the fruit of thy womb. She stopped. What voice is that? She heard a supernatural voice. It wasn't a seminary voice. It wasn't an uncertain song. It was a scriptural voice. She said, how shall these things be? Seeing I know no man. He said, the Holy Ghost shall overshadow thee. And that holy thing which shall be formed in thee shall be called the Son of the Most High. She might have said, but that's Isaiah prophecy. That's in the Bible for 700 years. Every rabbi preached about that. You mean to say that was me? See, I and all used to read it. Amen. And that was my name. But when she was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and her life was now matching the prophecy. She looked back in the Bible and see her experience. An ordinary little village girl in the meanest city on the earth. That even Philip said, can any good thing come out of this filthy city of Nazareth? And yet had a little girl who was still a virgin down inside of the air. She didn't mess around. She wasn't going to flirt in somewhere. She was a predestined channel to bring forth the word for her age. She heard an angel message. She believed it with a virgin belief of the word. Even the great priest, Zechariah, couldn't believe he could have a son in his old age. A preacher of the word. God struck him dumb. He should say nothing no more. Amen. What is he going to preach to begin? He can't believe the word. When there are many old women in the Bible who had children already. Look at Sarah. Look at Hannah. Amen. He didn't believe it. He should have known what the word said. But look at Mary. When she understood, her name was written in the book. She was that mystery. She was that predestined channel to give birth to the word, to bring forth the Messiah, the anointed word, Christ, the mystery of God revealed. Amen. In that hour, she said, be unto me according to thy word. It had never happened before since the Garden of Eden. And she could believe it. Hallelujah! Oh, how wonderful! How marvelous! When we look and see that in that inheritance time, when the deed is being taken out to reveal the true heirs of the inheritance, the ones to whom it belonged to. Amen. We are going to see how these things are coming back. I'm going to put a pause here and pick it up this evening, because we want to take it to the Jubilee and to the atonement. And then bring it to this day. But I hope you are seeing that when you pay for something, then the one who pays for it becomes the legal owner. And he has a deed of purchase as the evidence that the property belongs to him. Amen. Glory. And so it was. Jeremiah says, put it in a written vessel. It's not in denominations. It's in earthen vessels. Paul says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God. Have shine unto us. A shine through this evening light message into our hearts, showing us what our full redemption is. And the Holy Spirit, who has given the revelation, is here to bring it to pass in our lives. What is this message all about? What does the opening of the seven seals represent? Does it just mean white horse, mean deception? Or the red horse mean war and disturbance? Political violence? The seals speak of redemption. The opening of that seven seal scroll had to do with an inheritance.
And here in the book of Jeremiah, the one who paid the price, the one who bought the inheritance, who became the legal owner. Amen. The right of redemption is his. The right of the inheritance is his. He has revealed it and is claiming him. Amen. What a tremendous hour. But the Bible says, we have received the earnest of our inheritance when we were sealed with the spirit of promise. But we couldn't be sealed with the spirit of promise when he sealed us in our forehead. Our revelation. When he wrote his name in our forehead, claiming that we are his. We have his mark. And those who belong to the beast have his mark. Amen. We worship the Lamb that was slain to redeem us. They worship the beast. We are in the Lamb's book of life because he bought us. We belong to him. Their names are not in the Lamb's book of life, and they belong to the system. Amen. And that is why, even though we were in the system, the one shall be taken and the other remain. Amen. Glory. And they said, where, Lord? He didn't say in heaven. He didn't say in Uganda. He didn't say in Trinidad. Where, Lord? Where the carcasses? There will the eagles be gathered together. So it will not be in the lion time. It will not be in the ox time or the man time. It will be in the eagle time. Because the eagle time is the rapturing time. It's when the book is being opened, where eagle prophet could reveal the mysteries, and that message could gather the bride together to show us how to prepare for this great rapture in faith. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes full of prayer. Almighty God, Father, we've come to the end of this service. Just placing a little pause here, Father. How we thank you for the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, your presence. Take these words, make them real within the hearts of your children. Let them search the scriptures to see whether these things be so. Oh God, that they might recognize their position. They might understand your purpose in sending forth this message. And dear God, we can see what your prophet is really communicating to us in this hour. That we will not live below our God-given privileges, but that we will be reunited to our sonship, where we could walk in the Spirit. We can live in victory and power. Almighty God, even between services, keep our hearts and minds centered on thee. Let us remain under the influence of the word. And when we come back in the evening, we could go to a second climax. rise up in the realms of the Spirit, where our hearts can be filled with this blessed assurance. In this hour when everything has been shaken, He says only those things that cannot be shaken will remain. And that is Your word. Lord, let that be our absolute. Let our soul be tied to that. We thank You for this grace. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. God bless you, Tennessee.
How many have liked it? God bless you.
See,
I remember what Brother Branham said.
Zijukira oluganda Branham kyagamba.
He said if Jesus Christ comes back,
nagamba singa Yesu Kristo akomawo leero,
which of these denominations will he go to?
Mumadini gano gonna yandigenzewa.
He goes to the Catholic.
Kubanga wagenda mu Catholic.
Which one of them?
Bali abali wakbo.
They differ.
Kubanga wakatuli chinabo banji.
But I believe.
Nenze nzikiriza.
But there is only one place.
Ntine walu wechi fochimucho ka.
If the Lord comes back.
Mukama mwafe singa komao mwagendo kugenda.
And that is the church.
Miranga kanisa ekirize chigamo cha katonda chonamu bujibu wacho.
We must be found under that word.
Tulino kusangi wawa nsiwe chigambe cho.
Now you can see brother.
Kale mwini zoku era vila kumwewe kawa Uruganda. Uruganda wadavude wa.
From what place?
Ne wankubadde mu kifo ki?
Bawanga
kkiriza obubaka buno.
He will speak the same thing.
Anaayogeranga kye kimu.
Because the word says.
Mwange kigambo kye tugamba.
Jesus must produce
a bride. Yesu Kristo anokweretera omugole.
A bride without wrinkle.
Omugole ataliko bbala ne wankubadde olufunyiro lwonna.
Must be in the same
Nga. Way. Alina kubeera mu kigambo kye kimu.
And I believe that's right.
Era nzikiriza nti ekyo kituufu.
Because the other Sunday we are talking about the answer.
Amen. Mwana wa wiki ya ita, tuwa ito get out of your two.
And you see your brother comes and talks about the altar.
Olugano na mpa jinja, na jia yo get a chenjini ngawe chali wano.
We have been talking about
tuwa de tuwa get out.
The redeemers.
Kwabo abanunuzi.
And the seal.
Era no bonero.
And you see God brings the confirmation.
Era, lava, o katona na leta, echikakasa.
But the question is,
naye kakati ekibuzo kikino.
Is your name?
Nti erinnya lyo.
In that book.
Liri mu kitabo ekyo.
Have you been identified?
Era ddala wakakasibwa okuba omu ku bo.
There is nowhere you can identify.
Tewali wantu wonna w'ogenda okweyawulira oba okwekakasa. Wabula mu Malaki 4:5 mulina okwekakasizaamu. Kubanga
atugamba.
Ndibatumira Eliya nabbi.
Amen.
Amina.
Are we on the altar?
Tuli ku altari. Amen. Tuli ku kyoto sisinkana Katonda. Katonda bulijjo omusinze w'amazima namusisinkananga wansi w'ekyoto kye. Awo bwe yassa erinnya lye.
Awo
nga fenna mwe tugenda okusisinkanira. Erinnya lye liweebwe ekitiibwa. Mpozi tuyimirireko tuyimbe.
I am now on the altar.
Oluyimba olugamba nti kaakano ndi ku kyoto. Nga tuyimusa emikono zaffe. Twebaze Katonda.
I am now. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Thank you. We are Heavenly Father. We give thanks.
thy precious name. Lord, this morning again, you have blessed us. Father, you are blessed and blessing. You have given us all the man that has fell from heaven today. Praise our hearts to you. And pray that, Lord, you may bless this congregation. Bless. Let your hand of commandment rest upon us all. We know that all things we are living in the world are going to be a threat. As the Savior of the Lord, our hearts, Father, that is good enough to be saved. Master, you may pray that we know great in the name of Jesus. Lord, can I make that honor? As you grow and we are being in the world. Father, thank you for the time. Father, thank you for the relaxation, Lord. Let it heal us.